God is good. And I tell you what, it's a pleasure to be here. I also want to thank you, all the guys who are watching online right now. We got people all over the country, all through the Caribbean. My brother Rich, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year to you. He's watching, and I tell you what, it is good to be in the house of the Lord today. With that in mind, I would like to open up my first reading of scriptures. This is from Acts 26:16, and it goes like this. Stand up. Stand up. And the gospel says this, I have chosen you to be my servant and my witness. You will tell people the things that you have seen, the things that I will show you. Isn't that a great way to start the new year? Stand up. God's counting on you, me, this congregation to represent Christ. Let me continue on. I have come to you today. I am sending you to them to open their eyes so that they may turn away from darkness to the light, away from the power of Satan and to God. Then their sins can be forgiven and they can have a place with those people who have been made holy by believing in me. Christmas story wrapped up in the shell. We had the opportunity to talk, share, and represent the gospel of Jesus Christ. Good morning, guys. And I tell you what, it is a privilege and an honor to be here this morning representing Jesus Christ. And I just thank the Lord to be able to share the gospel. And you know what? You guys have the opportunity to do the exact same thing every day, everywhere. Let's go to the Lord to prayer. Father God, we thank you for the gospel. Thank you for the power of the gospel, the fact that we are set free, the fact that you have done the most incredible thing in the world, that you came to us so we may have life. And now you're trusting us to be bold, fear not, stand up, and help us to understand what the gospel is all about. In your name we pray, amen and amen. You guys wondering about what this is all about? Have you noticed there are forks in your pews? Later. I tell you what. Christmas comes. Christmas goes. The joy of Christmas makes us grow. To realize what Jesus has done for me makes it really happy for people to see. The joy of Christ is in my heart. What's great about that? I'm not that smart. He guides, he directs, he shows me the way. Best of all, he tells me and you not to stray away. The gospel in a nutshell, Jesus is good, God is full of grace, and the first message was, fear not, but behold, I give you great tidings, a great joy, and the shepherds saw a light. The light, which is the light of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about you guys. In South Carolina, when you're driving along, a certain light will come into a certain business establishment, and it will get your attention. I know up in Pennsylvania, you guys don't have this, but there's a thing called Krispy Kremes. Anybody know what Krispy Kremes are? All right. The light. So, Shil and I are real famous. We'll be driving around in South Carolina, at the Krispy Kreme factory, all of a sudden the light comes on. You know what it says? Hot and ready. Well, when I see that light comes on, the Holy Spirit gets a hold of me and I do some really strange things. Like drive across four lanes of traffic, go across the media while my wife is screaming at me across the curve, and I go through the drive-thru window and say, Where are they? And yes, I get my box of Krispy Kreme donuts. I'm excited. They're real great. I didn't even realize I blew two tires out going through the driveway and have made quite an interesting scene. Needless to say, my wife, who is quite reserved, this is complete opposite of me, arms crossed, eating her donut. I hope you like them donuts, so that just cost us about $400. I said, yeah, I did, but you know what? They're hot and they're ready. hot and ready. The excitement, the joy of hearing the gospel, to know what that does for you. And I'll tell you why, when I come into reading my scripture lesson, I would like to explain more about what happens in our adult life. As we get older, we actually forget who Jesus Christ is, what's going on. One of my favorite books in the Bible to read from is Ephesians. Feel free to read with me. I think Mike's got, poor Mike, we have gone back and forth all day with our own scriptures, our own saying. But let me read out Ephesians for you. It says here, I have never stopped thanking God for you, and I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you wisdom to clearly understand who Christ is and all that he has done. Really understand who Christ is and all what he has done. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can see something of the future he has called you to share. I want you to realize that God has been made rich because we, who are Christ, have been given to him. I pray that you will begin to understand how incredibly great his power is to help those who believe. It's that same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in heaven. The power, the might, the joy we experience in Jesus Christ is so easy for us to forget as we go into the new year. Now look at the season of life. Now we get through Thanksgiving, you rush through Christmas, the new year's is here, and then we go through that long, long section of loneliness, sadness, and the joy of Christ. What happened to joy Christmas morning? What happened to joy? And I tell you, one thing I always enjoy to do is remember back in January, what we used to do around here, down south, is the circus will always come to town. I love a circus. I mean, I am a circus. I can tell you that. Clowns, acrobatics. But one thing that amazed me most of all of a circus were the elephants. Aren't they amazing? Elephants are the strongest animals in the world. And they're walking around and they're doing all sorts of things. But you know, after they're in the circus, you're allowed to walk around and see the animals. Interesting. I went by and saw the elephants. These monstrous elephants are just standing around, and they're sitting down, and they're tied with a chain and a stake. And I'm just watching these elephants doing those most amazingest things. They're strong, they're powerful, they're big. And I asked the attendant one time, why are they, and what keeps them down? You know what he told me? Because since they were little baby elephants, they put this chain around the foot and they put this stake in the ground. As the elephant grows and as it matures and as they get bigger and bigger and bigger, you know what? They're convinced this stake is going to hold them in place. Let me repeat what I just said. The most strongest, the most boldest animal around is held in ground by the little piece of wood. When we believe in Jesus Christ, Jesus is a powerful testimony of who we are. He's given us the world. He's given us power. He's given us grace. Our routine. But you know what? The problem is, as we get older, we get beat up. You know, we forget who we are. You know, we have sicknesses, we have death, we have jobs, we have all sorts of crazy things. We got our world's going crazy. And our faith gets pinned down by a little stupid piece of wood. And all you've got to do, man, you just got to pull this stake out of the ground throw it away. You know what? You're free. You're free. And I ask congregations all the time, what's your stake? What's holding you back? What's holding you back from believing God? Is it addiction? Is it unforgiveness? Is it brokenness? Depression? But I tell you what, you guys know my story. I went through all that. I went through all that. I forgot the joy of who Christ was. Being raised in this wonderful church and this beautiful community, that stake held me for years. But something powerful happened to me. All of a sudden, I realized again who Jesus Christ is, what he did for me, and why he came. I'm going to let Mike play a song for you right now. And this song changed my life. And I pray it will change your life. And I hope you can listen to the words carefully and what the words are saying.
As little children, we would dream of Christmas morn, of all the gifts and toys we knew we'd find. But we never realized a baby born one blessed night gave us the greatest gift of
Thank you, Mike. Powerful song. Do you know the reason? And the reason for living. That song changed my life. Now, that was written about 20 years ago, and it made sense. It made sense to me to understand who Christ was and what he did. It gave me a whole new purpose of living. It gave me a joy, a peace of passive understanding. I was able, by God's help, to get that stake pulled out of the ground, and it set me free. Gave me a heart for ministry. Changed my whole personality a whole way around. And God can do that for y'all today. That's Southern, y'all. He can, and he will change you. And I love to think about the human side of Jesus. You know, that when Christ was born, now my mind's weird. You know, you already know that. But I often think about, you imagine the night Jesus was born. You know, I just see him. All right, guys, I'm going to have one more cup of coffee. I'll see y'all in 30 years. I'm going to go down here. I'm going to get born real quick. You imagine what it was like. He was in glory, paradise. He left where we want to go. And he had that last meal with his buddies up there, and they come down. And I think about Gabriel coming down, making an announcement, and they're watching and thinking, hey, Jesus, I just saw you in heaven like 20 minutes ago. What are you doing down here? But that human part of God, to realize in our religion is the only religion in the world that we believe God came to us. We're not trying to make things right to go to God. He came to us because he loved us so much that he gave his only son for us, that whosoever believes in him shall never, ever perish, but have everlasting life. That's a promise. That's a hope we can grab onto every day. The same thing. The elephant chain, the states, life comes around. Our visions are blocked and our visions are blurred. And I love vision. And it's sort of like a family tradition for Shil and I. Y'all don't know this, but every time we come to Pennsylvania in January or December to preach, we get stopped in that nice, Judge, what is that little community we talked about? Where's that little town? Yeah, Garden. There's a sheriff there knows we're coming through. For 3 years in a row, we get pulled over. The first year was I had a toll die behind me and the lights weren't working. I had name, registration. It was like, the second year was we hit that little bump in that bridge and now we're getting tired and my muffler falls off. And it's like, name, registration to allow for noise. The third year was just we brought the stove and the saw up to you guys, the U-Haul trailer. It wasn't working. Well, this year, we're driving, and I'm driving, and I'm getting tired. And so when I get tired, now that I'm older, my night vision is not that good. So no fun intended. So I don't look like a drunk sailor. My dear wife got me these wonderful glasses to put on to knock the glare off so I can see what's going on. Well, the problem is I got bored. You know what I did? I got these glasses off, yeah, baby, and I put these glasses on. So now everything looks like Candy Canes, you know what I mean? So here we are, baby, look, of course, being a good wife, I give her the second pair, like, boy, this is so fun going on. I see a Candy Cane right now. My vision had to be changed. All of a sudden, the vision was torn up, made up, and I could see things a lot different, and praise the Lord, we were not pulled over. The thing about this is understanding who Christ is. I love this passage as it keeps going on and it keeps reminding me, I pray for you. I want you to be flooded with light. And now Ephesians talks about, it's not just for today. I want you to see something of the future. Each and every one of us has a plan, has a guided, directed plan that the Lord has put together for us to do. We have a future. We have a plan. You have a purpose. The purpose is, number one, is to represent Jesus Christ everywhere we go. How do we do that? Easy. How do we live our lives? Joy, happiness, and all. And to realize that the power and the strength we have, and the thing is, most Christians, again, get speed up and that stake gets put in the ground. At the end of the Ephesians, it talks about the power. We have the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is available to us. You just got to learn how to use it. I love that saying, knowledge is power. How do you get the knowledge? You've got to read. You've got to study. You've got to pay attention to what the gospel is all about. Several years ago, there was a fire in Nassau. And it was a serious fire because in the Bahamas, there's only two ice plants in the entire island. Well, this major ice plant caught on fire and burnt down. You know what the problem was? They had all the water was there. And there was only this ice plant. They couldn't put the fire out because you know why? The water was frozen. All the assets are frozen. A lot of times as Christians, we forget. We truly forget the power we have in the name of Jesus Christ. Your assets are frozen. They're locked up. When the fire came, it was useless because they did not know how to unthawed and use that water to put that fire out. God uses those examples time and time again, but something happens, and that's what I love about mission trips. When you guys came down, you experienced the Holy Spirit. And one of our greatest stories is your story is God's glory. How are we going to stand up to represent the gospel to people? Share your stories. Share your stories. Each and every one of us has got a story. I mean, I look at my brother Rich, and 2 years ago, he's healthy. All of a sudden, he needed a full lung transplant. And the Lord provided all that for us. You guys, the money you all had to raise to come to Bahamas, we got Bahamas, and how Jesus showed up. When Jesus showed up down there, things happened. Power washer shows up. Larry shows up. Darren shows up. Tar show up. Things happen. You guys experience the gospel in a neat, powerful way. How cool is that? When Jesus shows up, you know, I limped my way through the season. I went back home. Of course, a lot of y'all know about my leg situation. My knee is always doing good. The problem is I have a major infection I picked up in the very first surgery that was on my knee appliance when it went in my leg. I had no idea. And you know, last year I was supposed to preach or I couldn't. Because I couldn't move. I couldn't figure out what was going on. Well, God had a plan, and Jesus showed up and all that stuff. So the doctor did a re-surgery on that knee, cleaned it, scrubbed it, put it back together, sent me out. I had a little thing in my heart to take care of the infection. I thought everything was fine until about June. Well, June, it started to act up again. And guys, when we did y'all's mission trip, how the Lord got me through that week was unbelievable. After you guys left, we went through two more hurricanes. And we got back to South Carolina. Immediately, I went to my surgeon. He opened my knee up. His question was, is it possible? They got over 3 pints of infection out of my leg. I should have been dead. I shouldn't even be able to move. The doctor's like, how? You can't. I mean, you should be 100-degree temperature. But you know what? Jesus had a plan. And he got us through all that. Now, 4 surgeries later, who has 4 knees in 1 year? I do. He still is working the plan. Yeah, I'm going to have an infection the rest of my life. But through all those situations, through all that pain, all the sorrow, we are able to glorify God. Second surgery, when I'm in there, one of the doctors came in after surgery. I noticed he had cowboy boots on. And now the hospital is very excited about who's this weirdo, and I think it was in room 225, because I'm happy, I'm excited. It's like, what is going on here? And this doctor came in, and I noticed he had cowboy boots on. I said, oh, you must be Texas. Yeah. I said, man, your attitude is amazing. How are you doing with this? And then he said, and I asked him, well, we're from Texas. He said, well, New Brunswick. So it was interesting. I had mission teams in New Brunswick. I said, you ever heard of a place called T-Bar Inn? And then he got real quiet. The T-Bar Inn's a sports camp. And he said, I went to that camp as a kid. And he kept coming back that week. And he said, I want your faith. I want that faith. I just forgot it. I forgot it. I got into practicing medicine. I got into making money. I got into all this stuff like this. That stake went in the ground. I want your faith. I said, you can't have my faith because it's God's faith. All you had to do was believe in Jesus. So all that time in the hospital, I had the opportunity to share and witness, and people would come to our room to hear the gospel being shared and loved. It was neat how God worked. Well, God's plan, I say, God's story, I mean, your story is God's glory. every single one of you guys have an opportunity to share that. And as we go through, the Holy Spirit will work, will move, and go into your life. Now, in closing, I just want you to realize again the grace, the strength, and the opportunity we have through Jesus Christ is unbelievable. He wants you guys to have the joy of the peace that passeth all understanding. And the more you practice your faith, the more joy you can share, and more it continues on. If he can take this old country boy from this area to do what he has done in ministry all over the world, man, there's nothing stopping you guys to go whatever. Now, the question of the day is forks. Y'all reaching, you notice you got forks in your pools? Why forks? Why am I giving you guys forks? Great story. Well, in ministry, you guys know, Sheila and I'm involved in a lot of different ministries, churches, building churches, planting churches. You hear stories about our Seacoast congregation and how the Lord has worked with that congregation in Charleston. Another ministry that we are heavily involved in is called Christian Radio. If you guys want to get the gospel of the Lord out, Christian Radio is how to do it. You reach more people than anyone you know to do. It's amazing what they do. Well, Christian Radio, the fork. One of my good friends, his name is Rob. Rob had a little procedure this year, and it didn't go exactly what we thought, but God had a plan. Rob was a homeless teenager, got kicked out of his house in Florida. Parents were drug addicts. He got kicked out at age 12, 13 years old. As he was running around living in things he shouldn't have done, he went into a dumpster for shelter one night. You know what he found? A radio. He found a radio. He turned it on. It was a gospel station. It was on it. He went to that gospel station and he said, you know what? I want to be a part of this ministry. And so they gave him a job. His job was to sweep the floors. Gave him a floor. He swept. Well, the Lord started working Rob's life. He soon became more involved and more involved and more involved. He moved up to Greenville, South Carolina, where we got a chance to meet Rob. And this is where one of my bands come from. It talks about the salvation message. The radio station was started called His Radio Station. We had one station, our operating budget at the year was $150,000. We're just a very small little tiny station. Rob, in 20 years, through the help of Jesus Christ, exploded that station. That station now is a training station that it is going all over the world. It's represented in Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina. You can go on our apps and catch it anytime, anywhere around the world. We have over 2 million listeners on that radio station. And by the way, you'll hear me on that station every once in a while, which is pretty cool, just proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, what happened to Rob? Well, Rob came in with a little procedure. Rob is an athletic guy, fantastic. Went in the hospital, and Thursday, he's texting us, making comments. Well, at 10 o'clock on Thursday night, he had a massive heart attack, and he died. And he died. It shocked everybody, including, because he was not only that, he also was a producer. At 56 years old, leaving behind wife, family, kids. He was a foster parent, had 40 foster kids during his career as working on the radio. So his funeral was an amazing funeral, and a lot of good people preach. Well, something in the South, when people are buried in the South, it's pretty cool. Most of the time, the Bible is on your chest, and occasionally, you'll see a fork. People are like, fork? What? Why a fork? Why the fork? This is why. Because at a celebration of life, we have a party. We eat, and the meals are amazing. And when the meals are done, they clean off the table. You know what they tell you to do? Keep the fork. You know why? Because something really good is coming next. Something really good is coming next. The fork, and I'm real known to drop forks in people's caskets, and the fork is to realize the best is yet to come. When you believe in Jesus Christ, without doubt in your mind, death is not the end. Death's the beginning. When your life goes sour and sour, while I put the forks out there, I'm asking you guys, when the stuff hits the road, just grab that fork. Sometimes I just grab it. I'm like, the best is coming. The best is coming. You know what? The best is coming. Grab a fork, praise the Lord, and give him all the glory and the honor. Be not be afraid. Stand up, represent the gospel, share the gospel, live the gospel, and truly understand who Jesus Christ is. Amen and amen.